better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Since it's a recruiting Thursday, again, Richard Davenport will be joining us around 8 o'clock this morning to talk and give some updates on recruiting. I wanted to use that into looking at the game upcoming this weekend versus Texas A&M and Jerry World. Now, because technically, this is one of Arkansas's home games in Jerry World.
Right. Every other year, one of these games down there is your replaces a date that would be in Fayetteville or technically Little Rock.
Correct. And we all know that the situation Arkansas has been in this season where they only have two home games in Fayetteville and the SEC with Auburn and Mississippi State.
Now that you've moved. And this isn't like unprecedented. This has happened before.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. It's just
many times. This is the 10th time Arkansas has played A&M in Arlington.
Right. Yeah. This has been on the schedule and it's going to be on the schedule till 2024. At least that's what you think.
Five more times.
Yes. Really. Because of that's where the contract's at. But my whole question in all this, because listen, when I remember when this game was first announced, how excited I was, I remember, because not only was the first game on my 21st birthday, which I was like, well, I know what I want for my 21st birthday. Thanks, Mom and Dad. But I also thought, because it was, you just had this big, beautiful stadium built by Jerry Jones that was state-of-the-art, yeah, blowing people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Arkansas, the Razorback football team, was going to have an opportunity to play in it in its first year of its opening was a big, big deal.
Remember when they opened the Bellagio in Vegas?
I don't remember.
It was the first of its kind. Had the big water show out front, still does. And it was just on another level. And everybody wanted to go to Vegas and see the Bellagio. Even if you couldn't afford to stay there. Hey, here was, I want to walk through. I want to see those, man, because they got a great sports book with leather chairs. And it was just, it would you were in awe. But then guess what? They built the Wynn down the street. And they built, you know, they tore down all these older casinos and built new ones. That's kind of what happened with Jerry's World. It was the Bellagio when it first opened. Everybody had to go and see it once. Well, now if you go to Vegas, there's newer things to see here. I've already seen the Bellagio. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what the game in Arlington's turned into. For the first 3 or 4 or 5 years, it had a lot of pizzazz to it because I haven't seen Jerry World. Maybe you went to the Cotton Bowl game against Kansas State there. Everybody that really wants to go and see that building's either been to a Cowboys game, a concert there, or an Arkansas game of one either against A&M or the Cotton Bowl there. The newness is worn off. You know, that building's not new anymore. It's still state of the art. It's still as good as anything in the world. But if you've seen it once, do I need to see it for the fifth time? And then the ticket to get to this game is just ridiculously expensive.
It's pretty outrageous.
And part of that's because they need to price in the donation you would have on a home ticket. I get why they do it. I don't agree with why they're doing it because you are getting the $5 million Jerry sending. It seems like you're double dipping a little bit to me, but someone could probably explain to me why they need to do that to at least break even. But
struggling, you know, over there, man.
I guess. I don't know, but it just, I've got to have a better understanding. Particularly after what happened last week of, because it's like $175 to get a ticket, you know, in the lower level to see something other than the big giant screen.
Yeah, I mean, for students alone, it's $85.
Right. So explain to me, if you're going this weekend, you love the Hogs, you got money to burn, you sleep on a mattress made of cash.
Maybe you got family in Dallas and you want to go this as an excuse to go see them. Maybe.
Yeah. Ty's been trying to pull that one on me for a month now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I got family all over the place if we want to play that. I got family up in Kansas City. Yeah. That's why I'm going to be going there next year when Missouri comes. But I get what you're saying.
I like brisket. Let's go to Dallas. You know, whatever. I'm just saying, you got to really, I guess I need to understand the motivation. If you're shelling out, let's just call it $150 a ticket on average. $100, whatever it is. To go down there, family of four, you're going to spend $500 or $600 on tickets. Two-night minimum in a hotel, probably at best $150 a night. You're in an easy grand $1,200 if you go on the cheap end. Probably more like $1,500 by the time you eat out a few times. You buy a $12 beer, a $9 hot dog. You know, it's not going to be cheap. So that's the thing I've got a hard time understanding is the motivation, particularly when it's so expensive to go there.
Yeah, because I just went on to StubHub real quick just to see just how, what the cheapest ticket would be. The cheapest ticket that you could get in from a third-party website would be $89.
There you go.
And I just
then you got fees on top of that.
Oh, yeah, and fees and everything.
So call it $100.
So I was even checking it to sit on the very back row of the very top but still be like on the 40-yard line is going to cost you $150.
Yep.
I mean, and that's the thing is if you're a Razorback fan or just a fan in general, and I mean, it's just that's very pricey to see a bad team.
If the team is good, I get it. The team was 4-0, had beaten Ole Miss, had not messed the bed last week. That's the best way I can put it. I could see it. It'd be excitement. We're going to go down there and whoop that Aggie butt and get to 5-0. We're not talking about that, though.
No. In fact, I'd be curious to see what the ticket sales situation looks like for the Arkansas side of things, because I think that this might be the least motivated anybody's been to go to this game. Now, if Arkansas was even 3-1, or if they had beaten San Jose State like they should have and just dominated them,
be different.
It'd be a whole different scenario, a whole different situation. But now the entire thing has changed, and the entire outlook has changed.
I just think that the newness, I mean, how many times you need to tour that stadium? How many times you need to wander through it? Twice, maybe. Can't probably see it all in one. I mean, that's the thing. So what is the motivation? If you've never been there, okay, I get that. But how many people that really go and want to travel and see the team haven't been there already, or haven't been to a Cowboys game?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons and ways to get into that building. So I just think the newness, it's not new anymore.
Yeah. I kind of feel spoiled because I'm like, oh, I've been there 6 times already. It's I'm over it. Whatever.
You know, once you've rode time travel at Silver Dollar City about 8 times, do you really need to ride it again?
Maybe just for nostalgic sake.
You know, it's the newest, latest, greatest roller coaster. I'm just thinking, once the newness is worn off, why are you going for the 5th time?
Yeah.
And getting your tonsils pulled out through your nose on ticket prices.
Mm-hmm.
For a team that's 2-2 and lost to San Jose State.
Yep. And see, to me, that right there is the key. It's the team itself. And the fact that you've lost 7 straight times to Texas A&M. And even though you shouldn't have lost 7 straight times, you have lost 7 straight times. And I think just people, if the team was better, I think people would be more motivated. Because let's be honest too, Tommy, there's a huge fan base of Razorback fans in Dallas Metro.
And that's part of the motivation to play that. I know this, one of the leading metropolitan areas on hitthatline.com, when we look at all the stats, and they're impressive, trust me.
No, through the roof.
But I'm going to tell you, one of the most listened to markets, listening from markets, is Dallas. I mean, I guarantee you there is someone in the Dallas Metro area listening right now on hitthatline.com.
Yep.
Because it is right up there with Fayetteville, Fort Smith, and Little Rock in our state. And in some months, tops those metro areas.
It's top
three. There's a huge alumni base there. And they want to stay plugged into the Razorbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things you're counting on as the foundation and the university is, hey, we got to get our fans here in Dallas out to this game. And that is their one chance to see them without traveling.
Yeah. And you also throw into the mix that, and I know that it's not about the students and their tickets and whatnot, but there's a huge amount of students at the U of A from Dallas area, from Texas. And that's another way that they look at it. It's like, hey, kids want to go home, get closer to home, and mom and dad see them. Maybe the parents will come up and see them, and they'll go to the game together. I mean, there is a lot of different reasons to have this game in Arlington. There's a lot of reasons. But are we getting to the point where the reasons aren't necessarily as beneficial as what we thought they were going to be? Because Tommy, and then we all can circle it back to recruiting, this originally, at least at the core of it, was supposed to set up Arkansas perfectly to get into Texas and to recruit at a high level in Texas, because when you left the Southwest Conference, your presence kind of got taken away a little bit because you were no longer playing games down there.
And it did for a while.
Yeah. But then when Bielema came in, and of course we all know the fiasco that he had of basically canceling the state of Texas in recruiting. Chad Morris is trying to build that up, and we know the ties that he has there. We'll see if it plays out. But to me, that right there is supposed to be the biggest benefit for the football program in general, is to be able to have the recruiting side. And I just don't know if we've been able to see enough of it paying out and paying out dividends. Because I know you got a few guys from Texas.
Well, I think until A&M joined the league, I think it was. And then A&M joining the league's changed the dynamic.
Mm-hmm. But is there still reason even beyond the A&M game? Because that game's going to get canceled. Like, the A&M and Arkansas, the Southwest Classic, is no longer going to exist past 2024. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, will there still be a benefit and a reason for Arkansas to continue playing there against somebody?
On an annual basis? No. On a every 3 to 5 year basis? Yes. I just don't... But again, I'm not the coach walking into the door and trying to go into the living room of a recruit in the Dallas metro area, somewhere in East Texas, where that game is more appealing. And I know there's some appeal when you're talking to kids. And one of the things we're going to get to today and tomorrow is you got a young team with a lot of freshmen playing in Cowboy Stadium.
Big time, baby.
That's going to be a challenge to keep the focus where it needs to be. And I know that's a recruit. Hey, you come to Arkansas every year, you're going to get to play in Cowboy Stadium. For those kids that grow up in Texas, that's still a dream because they play state championships there. But outside of that, you don't get that opportunity. You don't get that privilege.
And it is a big privilege to have, for sure.
So for those Texas kids, it means a lot. Hey, Metal Mart offers high-quality prefabricated metal buildings, metal roofing, carports, and custom trim. If you're a contractor, they'll set you up and work with you. If you're a do-it-yourselfer that's getting projects done on the weekend, that's no problem. They'll work with you on the materials and make sure you got everything you need to complete your project. They're in Fort Smith, Mayflower, Jonesboro, Pine Bluff, and in Little Rock. I also have Metal Direct on Inmar Drive, one block off University, behind Napa Auto Parts in the capital city. Metal Mart, the right material for the right price.
I have a few people texting into our Cherokee Casino hotline, 877-377-6963. Brett from Spyro says, I bought 3 tickets for a Sooners game last year to watch them play Army for $800. Mm-hmm. Blows my mind that y'all are upset over $150. But I did it just because I love my Sooners, and I wanted to take my wife and boy to their first game.
Ahoy polloi.
Yeah.
Money bags.
Well, here's the thing.
Times are good in Spyro.
Yeah. Well, Oklahoma's a big-time program, yep. And
Arkansas
they're really good.
Not on that level.
Yeah, and so it just makes sense that way. NCAA Hog from Yellville says, the lower bowl at Razorback Stadium is just as ridiculously priced, so I disagree with you about tickets being higher there.
Yeah, but you're not having to drive 5 to 7 hours. Stay in a hotel 2 nights. And listen, you can say, well, yeah, if you're in Arkansas, you're going to have to do some of these same things. I get it. But, you know, if you're in Yellville, you can drive over, make a day trip of it for the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just saying you're forced into some of these situations by going to Arlington.
Yeah. And we're also saying
I'm not saying it's cheap to go to Fayetteville. I'm just saying it's a little more expensive to go to Arlington.
Well, if you want to sit at the lower bowl in Dallas Cowboys Stadium, the cheapest ticket as of right now, actually not too bad. Cheapest ticket right now would be $120. So,
So by the time you get it in your hands, closer to $140.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So, but if you want prime seats, be in the Club Hall of Fame, $285. Mm-hmm. So just be able to check that out.
I want to be in Jerry's box.
Well, wouldn't we all want to be in Jerry's box? Of course, if we had a choice. I mean, to sit, I have a feeling that they probably get whatever, whenever, and however they want up there.
I got a buddy who's been, the spread there, he said, is the greatest he's ever seen.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
And lobster food, tail for appetizers, you know.
The liquor, like anything you can think of, it's there.
Well, that's what I'm
there's
saying.
No Natty Light in there.
Yeah.
I'd find some.
That's the thing, is that if it's Jerry Jones, and Jerry Jones wants it, like, I feel like it could be like Sodom and Gomorrah up there. And I'm like, well, it's Jerry's box. Just let him do what he wants to do up there, man.
Remember when Long first came in and there was like this perception that they were trying to just shove the memory of Frank Broyles out?
Yes.
And they're playing one of these first games down there, and there's the late Frank Broyles and Jerry Jones and Jim Grizzle sitting on the front row together of Jerry Jones's box, and then they cut to Jeff Long, and he's like sitting in a cardboard box or something. He wasn't even in a box. I mean, it was just, you know, that shows you, you know, Jerry gets what's going on.
Oh yeah,
take care of Frank.
Yeah, so, that's. I'm sure that
his coach.
I'm sure that burned him up a little bit too.
Yeah,
Jeff Long.
Jeff Long wasn't in the box. Frank Broyles was.
That's right. Well, Xander from Ozark says cancel A&M and play Texas. Well, gee, if it was only that simple.
Texas isn't going to do that because they play Oklahoma every year already, and that dump across town. I don't know why do they still do that.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I cannot figure that out for the life. I know they signed a deal so they could renovate that thing. Why would you still want to play at the old Cotton Bowl?
Tradition. That's all I got.
Taking a buggy ride to town used to be a tradition, but we don't do that no more.
And it always has to be at 11 a.m., right? Doesn't it always have to be?
Yeah, so you don't get killed coming out of the Cotton Bowl. Yeah.
Tradition, Tommy. Tradition. It's so worth it. I don't get it either. I thought that when Dallas Cowboys Stadium got built, I was like, well, that will be a great matchup for Texas and Oklahoma. Nope.
Nope.
You want to play him?
It don't matter to me.
Have you been to the old? You've been to the old Cotton Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Right? Arkansas played Missouri there. Arkansas played Oklahoma there. I've been to three Cotton Bowls there at the Texas game on January 1, 2000. Clint Sterner won that game. Went again, two years later, got beat by Oklahoma. It was 10-7.
10-3.
10-3.
Where it was like 40 below zero.
Yeah, and my seats were so high that day in the stadium, the lights from the top deck were in front of me. I could see them with looking down. The lights in the upper deck were, I was way up there.
Hold on a second. Tommy Kraft had to sit up in the nosebleeds behind the lights?
Back in the day.
Now look at you.
Yeah.
You'd get about four rows in front of that now.
Then in the Missouri game, there's not enough room in the press box, so we had the auxiliary press box seating, which meant outside on one of the metal benches, and it was not warm that day either. So.
And then you didn't get into the press box? You didn't get?
Well, I got in, but there was no seat. It's me and Mattingly and Ruskin and a lot of the Arkansas media that had to sit outside.
You didn't throw your name around or anything? This is not the Tommy Kraft
I told them I was John Neighbors, and they said, yeah, right this way, sir.
Oh, they're like, oh, you're a kid graduating from high school.
Why does that door say exit?
They probably wouldn't have gotten much clout there, but no, I get it.
No clout.
I get it.
None. I had none. Still have none.
They got another text from the 479. Says, if you have kids that play travel baseball, these ticket prices are nothing. Well, I guess if you do have kids, yeah, playing travel baseball. Mm-hmm. But still, for the common fan, though, I mean, it's not cheap, because I remember even on, I keep mentioning my 21st birthday, like my parents were like, hey, we're going to get the nice seats to go down there for the 21st.
And then they figured out how much it cost.
No. Hey, listen, they got us. We got to sit in the lower bowl.
Yeah.
About 15 rows up on the 40-yard line. They were pretty good.
Well, you could see the 40-yard line there, you know.
But they cost about $300 a piece.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about for when you get four people there, it's going to cost you over $1,000. Not to mention, like you said, hotels and all of that stuff.
It's a bowl trip.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And listen, I get it. If you live in Forest City or you live in where, and you're coming up for two nights in a hotel in Fayetteville and you're buying four tickets, but you're probably not paying $300 a ticket at Arkansas.
No.
And listen, if you're a Broyles Matthews donor and you're buying seats on the 50, you ain't worried about what it costs anyway. You're giving them 10 or 20 grand a year just to have the right to buy tickets on the 50.
You're at a point in your life where you're just...
Right. You're the one going to Arlington this weekend.
Probably so. Let's squeeze in a quick phone call via the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Glenn is on Highway 65. What's going on, Glenn?
Hey, man. What's going on?
Not much, man. What about you?
I just wanted to know. I just wanted you to know that it did my heart good to hear somebody say publicly and broadcast that they were not a Houston Nutt fan.
Thank you, Glenn. You know what? If I'm the only one to say it, that's fine with me. I get people don't agree with me, but I will never be in Houston Nutt's camp. Never can do it.
So here's the deal. I want you guys to school me on something. You've probably talked about this a lot, but I haven't heard about it. How is it that Arkansas could have on staff one of the hottest properties in the SEC coaching field right now, and we're stuck with the person we're not a fan of instead of hanging on to him? How do we get that wrong?
Give us some more clarification.
I need a little more detail from you there. Are you talking about Chad?
Did we have Gus Malzahn on staff?
Oh, you're talking about Sick? Yeah. Yes, under Nutt, yes. Yeah.
For a year.
So you guys schooled me on how he got away.
Well, that would take a whole show to go through the whole process of that once again. But obviously, there were a lot of disagreements and some issues in his tenure here. And from what I understand, too, and Tommy, you can correct me on this, Gus Malzahn wanted the job when they were looking at Brett Bielema.
When Todd Graham was in here, okay, I was talking about when he left.
Oh, well, no, when he left, he called
and went after any job on staff at Tulsa with Todd Graham, and obviously got it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was ready to, he was, you know, 1 year was enough of the, you know, just the behind the scenes act that was going on here.
Yeah.
The amateur hour behind the scenes. He wanted out. As far as when Bielema, I think he always wanted, if Auburn and Arkansas was his choice, he was always going to take Auburn because he knew what the recruiting capabilities were there.
Yeah.
I know Arkansas is home, but it's sometimes very difficult to come home and do well and have mm-hmm. longevity.
Yeah. And appreciate the phone call, Glenn.
And obviously he had an opportunity to come last year and
did not.
You know, some people think they got played at Arkansas. Maybe. But I think in the end, and just talking to someone that was on his staff at the time, the fact that they could get 54 stars to come on campus for a weekend for official visits and unofficial visits on a weekend, you'd never get 54 stars to visit the campus. And that was for the Iron Bowl last year. I don't care who Arkansas is playing. If the New England Patriots came to play the Hogs, you wouldn't get 54 stars on campus.
Not to mention the fact, too, that when...
And coaches understand that's how they stay employed, is recruiting.
Not to mention the fact that with Malzahn and the whole deal of almost coming here was people felt like they got played. Who's his agent?
Jimmy Sexton.
Okay.
The best in the business.
That's right. So if Jimmy Sexton's ever involved...
And what's the job of the agent?
To get their clients paid.
The most money possible and in the situation the client actually wants to be in.
Yeah.
So.
But getting paid is going to, because yeah. doesn't he get a cut, I believe?
Yeah, he gets
a
percentage.
So but, when you win, he wins.
Right. So, you know, we'll see how it works out. There's a lot of people that believe that when things went bad the following year, Gus had to renegotiate his buyout terms just to keep the job.
Mm-hmm. But, hey, listen.
I don't think he has the big buyout anymore.
But I don't think that there's any doubt that people would have loved to have seen what Malzahn could have done at Arkansas.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3. And nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
Want to get on the conversation, call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Put the poll question out on our social media of how does Arkansas playing in Jerry World at Arlington benefit Arkansas? What is the benefit? Is there a benefit? Is it worth playing there anymore? If the contract was canceled that this year, would you still want to play a game down there? I guess is going to be the ultimate question.
Would you want to find a new dance partner?
Yeah. Would it just be a change of scenery, change of team? Keep A&M at home.
Really, if it wasn't Texas or probably Oklahoma State, I'm trying to think of who would you be willing to drive 5 or 6 hours to go see Arkansas play on a routine basis?
Drive, yeah.
I mean, it can't be like Texas Tech or Baylor or someone else in the old Southwest Conference necessarily. I mean, if you're playing Rice, you know, that's not going to cut it.
Yeah. Yeah, because I tried to think of realistically. Because listen, everyone's like, I'm going to play Texas. You know, well, Texas
is not going to happen.
No.
So, and Arkansas doesn't need to play Texas on an annual basis. Oklahoma State, you're not going to play Oklahoma.
No. Oklahoma State would make the most sense.
To me, the only thing that makes sense is Oklahoma State.
Yeah, but then
it's got to be two teams from this region of the country.
Yeah, but then it's like, would you want to, when your campuses and are listen, like 3 hours away
right.
from each other?
Yeah, it'll take, yeah, exactly. It's quicker to drive to Stillwater or to Fayetteville than it is to drive to Dallas. Both, though, need to recruit that area.
Yeah.
I mean, both sides have to be able to think they're winning something out of this deal. So, I mean, that's the only, to me, dance partner you could replace A&M with, and it makes sense. I mean, if you played Houston or, I mean, just think of other schools that are in Texas that might want the opportunity to play there, that it would make sense for both sides.
What if, and it's just, I'm just throwing this out there, what if they flipped it up and switched it to where they no longer had the Missouri game in Little Rock and they had that game every other year in Jerry World, day after Thanksgiving? I mean, would that be anything at all?
I
don't know.
If you, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't bother me, but
it wouldn't bother me either, but I don't know if that would be a game that would be people would want to go see.
You're talking about two things there.
Yeah.
You know, no War Memorial and every other year. Jerry, I don't know.
I don't know either.
But, you know, the thing about the day after Thanksgiving is people aren't going to be willing to give up noon lunch or 4 o'clock Thanksgiving dinner or whatever it is with their family to go to a football game the next day. Some will take, and that will be their Thanksgiving trip. For many, you know, you got, particularly with people that are in their second or third marriage or whatever, got split families. Well, I got to go to 3 different places around the Thanksgiving holiday. You got extended families. I mean, I mean, if you're married, you're going to go to your family and your wife's family. I mean, that's just the way it is. So, I mean, the idea that we're going to skip all that to go to a football game ain't going to fly very far on Thanksgiving.
No, no. And that may be too much to ask, honestly. But it's at the same time, though, if you really just break it all down, because maybe we've just been spoiled with it, but it's like Jerry Jones is wanting you to play in his state-of-the-art stadium in Dallas, Texas. You want to find a way to do that. Not every team has that benefit and opportunity. Not everybody has that. Sure, the big-time programs every year have big-time matchups in Atlanta and at their NFL stadium, or in Dallas, or you know, in Louisiana, down in New Orleans at the Superdome. Like, they all have those. But if you're talking about, is there any, and I'd be curious, is there any other football team in college football that has a benefit of playing in a place like Dallas Cowboys Stadium every single year? I don't know if there is one. Not religiously.
Yeah.
So,
well, there's nothing like Cowboys Stadium in the South, at least. I mean, you got the new Mercedes, shouldn't say that. The new stadium in Atlanta is on par.
Oh, it's big time. Yeah, it is.
So it's on par with that. But Georgia doesn't play a game there every year, or Clemson doesn't come down there and play. Yeah.
And those are the big time programs too.
That stadium is owned by a booster of a program.
Yeah.
You know.
So, and that's what I'm saying.
That I'm aware of.
It's like Jerry Jones is basically coming to you. He's like, I would like you to do this. That it's an opportunity that not everybody has. And you really want to say, no, nah, we're good. No, you don't want to do that.
Hey, Jerry's one of your biggest boosters ever. Probably lifetime giving. He's got to be number one on the list.
Has to be.
As far as athletic giving. He's not one. He's in the top five, I guarantee you.
Yeah. Got a few people texting into our Cherokee Casino hotline, 877-377-6963. Jeffrey in Nashville and Jared in Muldrow both said TCU. I don't know if is that a big enough game to draw people down there every single year. I don't know, but you could still keep the Southwest Classic name, I guess, if you wanted to do that. This one comes from 479. It says, aren't we playing Missouri and Arrowhead next year? Might be a cool trade out every year. Yes, you are. Yeah. You are playing that. And I guess that was my point. It's like, hey, when you play Missouri at Arrowhead.
That was Missouri's deal.
Right. You know? And Arkansas can have their deal Dallas.
But you're talking about getting rid of War Memorial.
I am.
Yeah.
You
got two conversations going there.
Yeah, which is fine. You know, I'd be okay with it.
I think it's going to be difficult to do that. Missouri doesn't really care if Arkansas fans. Missouri fans, it's no different. Arkansas fans traveling to Little Rock for the home game to go over to Kansas City and play.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that far.
Missouri actually did Arkansas fans a favor by having it at Arrowhead.
Because they're trying to sell tickets.
Yeah. And hey. I'd be more apt to go to Kansas City and watch him play than I would be Columbia.
Absolutely.
I won't have to worry about the press box being outside under a tent in the middle of November.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that it's one of the things. One of the things. Did you bundle up? Were you expecting that? Because I wasn't.
No.
That's the thing.
So you were there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Got to be expecting that. This one comes from Mark and Van Buren. He says, what do you think the ratio of fans will be this weekend for A&M and Arkansas? I don't think either. This weekend might be the all-time lowest attended Southwest Classic. Like, do you think that's a good chance? Because both programs are not happy with their current situations.
Mm-hmm. I think there's certainly disappointment with both fan bases. Yeah.
I mean, do you think this could be the lowest attended Southwest Classic because of that?
I don't know what the low number is, but yeah. I mean, certainly that potential. Could you see 40-something thousand there? There's been 50-something before. At some point, that's the telltale. When fans say, I ain't paying the money anymore, and you got 41,000 there,
mm-hmm.
That's when you say, this thing doesn't work.
Yeah.
Damon asked a good question. What top-shelf recruit has ever chose to go to Arkansas because of that game being played in Jerry World?
I mean, I don't know.
Well.
But you got to admit that there's probably maybe some that like that.
I'm just saying, there's a cool factor with playing there, but at some point that cool factor wears off, that cool effect. Mm-hmm. It's cool to play in Jerry World. At some point, though, that's not as cool as it once was. I gave the analogy to the Bellagio when it first opened in Vegas. It was the coolest place to be in Vegas.
But in recruiting, though, wouldn't it be cool to go into guys
it's like,
hey, every single year you're going to play in Dallas Cowboys Stadium. I mean, as a kid, I think that'd be pretty cool.
Or if you go to Alabama, hey, you're going to play in Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta every year in the SEC championship game.
Or national championship game. Yeah, well, we can't all be winners,
we'll play
Tommy.
In Jerry World and in Atlanta. in championship games.
Yeah, well, we can't all be winners there, Tommy. That's for sure. I tried to figure that out.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Also, a reminder, as far as our setup on Saturday, we're going to have the Arkansas Game Day pregame show happening at 6 a.m. Now, Phil and Ty are going to take the morning shift. We'll see how they handle it. But they're going to be on the broadcast there. And when me and Tommy did it last year, we called it the Morning Rush weekend version, or the Morning Rush part two, whatever you wanted to put it.
Zach Arnst told me this was great leadership on my behalf, that me and you were not getting up early on a Saturday morning.
That's right. That's right.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is you still got to do the post game, which we'll be doing.
All right. Well, you need the A team on the post game.
Yeah. Especially for a game like this, because who knows? Right. If Arkansas found a way to win.
I mean, the board of directors called and said, we need the A-team on the post-game show this week.
That's right.
The board has spoken. You know?
We'll be broadcasting
no choice.
Live from Randall Ford for the post-game show following the IMG broadcast as well. So just wanted to give everybody an update on that. So it is Recruiting Thursday, and we're going to talk recruiting with Richard Davenport, and it's presented by Razorback Amper Sales.
Yeah, exit one off of the bypass in Hot Springs. They are closing out 2019 models right now, including the 26-foot Salem bunkhouse. It's got everything you need. Outside kitchen, power awnings, power jacks, slide out, fireplace. I mean, the list of amenities continues long and lengthy. $23,952 or just $246 a month. It's at Razorback Camper Sales, exit one off of the bypass in Hot Springs, and online at RazorbackCamperSales.com.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline and welcome in Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Richard. How you doing, man?
Doing well, guys. Doing well. Thanks for having me again.
Well, it's always good to have you on, and there's a few things we want to get into, but I want to start with this game this weekend, Arkansas and Texas A&M, specifically the fact that this game is played at Jerry World and Dallas Cowboys Stadium in Arlington. I think we probably talk to you about this every single year, but there are some people that are still interested about it. This game and this location, does that resonate with recruits? When Chad Morris is out on the recruiting trail, is this something that gets brought up? Do the recruits respond in kind? They think it's a really cool thing. What's the overall feel of having the Southwest Classic and Jerry World among recruits?
Well, I think initially when it first started, you know, because of the Jerry World being being what it is, I mean, I think it was somewhat of a big deal. But now I think just from the standpoint that so many other colleges play there too, I don't think you get a big bang out of it anymore. I think it's a kind of a I just don't think that recruits go, wow, they're going to be playing in Jerry World. I'm excited about that. That gives them an edge in recruiting me. I just don't see that anymore. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, even with the Texas kids, there's so many opportunities for high school games, and of course, state playoffs and championships are played there. I guess the newness is kind of worn off of Arlington a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, how many times do you see other teams play there? I mean, so that the advantage that you might have had initially, might have got the attention of some kids, but I just don't think it's that big of a deal anymore. And I have no doubt that it's going to go back to home and home. Whenever this contract's over.
Richard, I also want to talk to you about the impact of losing to San Jose State. That was a brutal loss, one of the most embarrassing losses Arkansas has had in quite some time in their football program. And people were concerned about, well, how is this going to impact recruiting? They lost a recruit, or at least a commitment from Jamie Vance on Sunday, and some people felt like maybe that was directly correlated with the game. Have you seen, as far as the recruits feel, or the impact that losing a game like that has had? Did it have a negative impact? Is that one of the reasons why Jamie Vance decommitted? What's the story going on right there?
Well, I think that was a work in progress as far as the decommitment. It might have just been a coincidence that he did it a day afterwards. I don't know. He reached out for him for a comment, and he didn't reply. But Monday and Tuesday, I was in East Texas talking to 12 kids, four commitments, and eight 2021 prospects. And they also say the right things. You know, kids aren't going to come out and say, oh boy, they sucked, I'm not considering them anymore. But, I think that did obviously hurt a little bit. Now going forward is really how you respond and how they do is really going to tell how kids perceive them. I mean, obviously that was very embarrassing and it wasn't very good for your brand, what you're trying to sell, but how they respond over the next few weeks and then the rest of the season is going to probably tell the tale. And if they don't, kind of ride the ship, it could definitely hurt recruiting. But initially, kids were just saying, well, I'm sure that they're going to come back and show that that was a fluke and things of that nature. And several of the kids, that are committed, and Savion Williams from Marshall, I don't think that kid would decommit regardless of what happens this season. I think he's just so gung-ho on Arkansas and his relationship with the coaching staff, Coach Steff and Coach Morris. I don't see anything him doing anything. But the other guys, it could maybe affect them. Only time will tell.
Isn't every kid different, though, what they're looking at, what they value? You know, we think you lose a game like that and the sky is falling. To a 16, 17, 18-year-old kid, they're looking at maybe opportunity. They're looking at the relationship with the coach. What they value is not what we're valuing as fans.
Now, fans go, let's face it, not all fans, but some fans go to an extreme and think, the sun won't come up the next day. Here's the deal. I think last year they were able to recruit because the transition and they were able to sell, hey, we're building this, we're building this. And kids obviously bought into that and there was some truth to that. This year you do need to show a little bit of improvement. And I don't think there's any doubt about that. But at the same time, kids, like you said, each kid is different. A kid may see an opportunity to come in and play immediately, and playing time is always at the top of a kid's list when deciding the school. But at the same time, they do want to win too, so it's a double-edged sword.
We had a question from our Cherokee Casino hotline for you, Richards, from Chester and Cotter. He was just curious, is there any offensive linemen that are currently in the transfer portal, or at least that they would be looking to maybe go the JUCO route, transfer route, to try to get immediate help for next year?
Wow. I'll be honest with you, I haven't had a chance to really look. I mean, I know that's starting to happen right now, but after the fourth game, I've been tied up with East Texas kids, but I have to take a look. But, right now, I mean, they're really looking, for high school kids and try to build for the future. But at the same time, you don't ignore that either.
All right, so Richard, I want to switch it up and get into basketball because I think there's a lot of excitement about basketball and some of the things that Eric Musselman is doing with the Razorbacks. I want to start, though, with Isaac McBride. Now, we all know the Kansas situation and how they got hit with the NCAA with some major one violations and some allegations there, and it'll be curious to see how all that plays out. But Isaac McBride, a player that Arkansas fans are very familiar with who had committed to Kansas, he is now leaving Kansas. Any chance that he considers Arkansas under Eric Musselman at all? Do you have any info on that?
I would be surprised if there's not some interaction, whether or not that goes forward beyond just talks. I don't know. I just think of this: he's a 3-point shooter, excellent 3-point shooter, and that goes right with what Coach Musselman likes as far as being able to hit the three-pointer, spread the floor, and he's one of the better three-point shooters in the 2019 class, hands down. So I have no doubt that there's going to be interest on Arkansas's part, whether or not that they have a spot, because you have to remember Kyrie Walker is coming in next weekend, and I think Arkansas is in very, very, very good shape with him. And he could enroll in at semester, and that would take up the last spot as far as immediate spot. He could come in and maybe walk on and go on scholarship later, or I don't know. Coach Musselman's so creative, in recruiting. Who knows what he could come up with? But I think if both parties want it to end up in Fayetteville, I think they'll find a way.
the red-white game being in Barnhill, I mean, from a recruiting standpoint, I think it's very exciting for fans. It's nostalgia. It's a throwback. I mean, no one you're recruiting would even know what Barnhill is. They'd have to be told by their parents or maybe their grandparents.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's an opportunity to tell the kids and show the kids, hey, this is where we played right before we won the national championship in 94. And you just name off some of the people that played in that building. One of the greatest players of all time, Akeem Olajuwon, played there. And then you mentioned, you know, Lee Mayberry, Todd Day, Joe Klein, you know, Darryl Walker. I mean, the list goes on and on. So there's a lot of history that can be shared with kids about that building. And then obviously say, you know, that's the success there obviously made the way for Bud Walton Arena.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Always appreciate you hopping on, talking a little recruiting with us, Richard. Have a great weekend, man. We'll be catching up with you next week, all right?
All right, guys. Take care.
Appreciate it. Richard Davenport and all guests join us via the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Let's go ahead and get into your Hog Update here on the Morning Rush.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling Woo Pig Suey.
It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you. Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the national championship! The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season!
This is your Hog Update on the Morning Rush.
All right, it is time for your Hog Update, presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
Hey, next weekend, next Friday and Saturday, October 4th and 5th, you can head to the Ozarks for Glock Days. They only do this once a year. The best prices ever and the lowest prices on Glocks you'll find, and it's once a year during this two-day event at the Ozarks. And with every Glock purchased that weekend, you get a great package from the Ozarks and Glock, including a high-end Glock coffee mug, a free box of ammo to go along with your purchase, and a high-quality Glock double pistol bag for two firearms and extra clips. And in addition to that, the Ozarks is going to throw in a three-month free membership at their amazing new indoor firing range. That's a $200 value right there alone. Find out more and be there next weekend. You can even win a free Glock. They'll have a drawing. You can get all the details at the Ozarks on that. Glock Days, October 4th and 5th, only at Ozark Sportsman Supply, Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale in Taneytown.
So for your Hog Update, Trey Knox, Traylon Burks, and Colton Jackson all expected to be back and playing this Saturday against Texas A&M. We'll know a little more about their health status once they actually get into the game. No doubt that they are not 100%, but they will be available to play, and that'll be huge on all fronts to have some playmakers on the outside, especially offensive linemen and Colton Jackson. Need all the help you can get on that. And also, as was mentioned earlier in the show, Razorback basketball, they will be officially honoring Nolan Richardson and naming the court after him on October 20th at 3 p.m. in an exhibition game versus Little Rock, yeah, the Trojans.
A lot of things happening there. Obviously, the history of naming the floor after him and honoring the greatest basketball coach at the University of Arkansas that they've ever had, the only national championship, three Final Fours. We know the history there. And then the other historical thing is you're going to play the University of Arkansas Little Rock, which is, you know, has been a new policy and a new approach that Arkansas athletics are engaging other system schools in our state.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I think it's great that it's going to be an exhibition game. This is not part of the season ticket package, so it's going to be kind of a separate game in itself. But, you know, Steve Sullivan on KATV last night on Twitter, he asked the question of, why would you do it? Why wouldn't you wait for a big game to do the honoring? Why wouldn't you wait for an SEC game instead of doing an exhibition? And here's my guess, folks, and I'm getting excited. I'm not going to put the cart before the horse, but I'm getting excited because they need time to put the whole new court and all the new graphics and design on Bud Walton Arena's court. And that takes time. And they can't just do it in a quick turnaround. It's not just going to be as simple as putting a Nolan Richardson name on it. It's going to be the whole court.
That's why a lot of this makes sense about Barnhill and them trying to figure out what to do and how to time all this out. And, and Musselman's just played his hand perfectly. I mean, he just played it perfectly on how to do all of this and bringing back the nostalgia and the tradition and all of that with Barnhill, whether, you know, is that a good idea? Yeah, I mean, but the reason you're doing it is so that the court is ready and you can have the proper introduction of Nolan Richardson court on the 20th. So there's reasoning behind all of this in the way it's not just because they think it's a cool idea to play in Barnhill.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things going on, but I think that one of the graphics they're going to change there, Tommy, is going to be a different looking hog.
You think the slobber hog's coming back?
I think it is, man. I'm calling my shot. If it's not there, I will be moderately disappointed if the slobber hog does not make its way back. But just think how cool it'll be and how much fans will love it if when they unveil the court, not only do you see Nolan Richardson's name on it, but then you see the old school slobber hog on it too. I mean, that'll just, it'll be a beautiful, that'll be a sexy looking basketball court, if I could say so myself. So I'm excited about that. And I'm wondering, because are people, I just feel like if people walk in and they, because they're going to unveil it, right? It's going to be like a ta-da type thing.
I don't know if they're going to have a tarp on. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah. If they have a tarp on the whole court, then for sure the slobber hog's there. 100%.
Yeah.
But if it's just on the spot,
we
got
to figure out a way to worm our way in there, like the week of the game, you know, like the 17th or 18th, find an open door.
They're usually pretty open. Yeah.
Get a look at, you know, just sneak in to the arena. You know, everybody's going to be trying to do that in the media, trying to get a picture of that floor and tweet it out ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to have like, they're going to have major lockdown security on that building if they want, if you want to make it a big surprise the week of.
Yeah. They're going to have security all across the board, too.
Because they don't want a situation like you had with Eric Musselman's hiring where someone got into the arena, took a picture of the press conference set up already.
Right.
Be the exact same thing. I think they...
You want to control the news.
Yeah. I think they've learned their lesson after that.
Keep the lights turned out. You got to do something, you know.
As the media, I get it. But as a fan, I'd be pretty disappointed if it leaked out, because I'd like to have the big surprise part of it, too.
Unless you were the one to tweet it and you got 9,000 retweets, and then you'd say, this is awesome.
Because that's what it's all about, Tom.
This is awesome.
It's about those retweets.
Look how cool I am.
Yeah. I'm an astute member of the media. I'm getting the scoop.
That's how people measure their worth in life, is how many Twitter followers they got. Well, yeah. It's a ridiculous thing.
Breaking and entering, if we...
It might be worth it, though. I'll bail you out.
So what you're saying is you won't fire us if one of us tries to break in a Bud Wall?
Not at all.
All right, you heard it here first. No. On the record.
Not at all. No firings.
I'm going to save this segment so I can replay it.
I'm a man of my word.
Just don't resist arrest. If that's the case, then you will.
I didn't say break. I mean, you don't need to break and enter. I just want to find a door near the loading dock that's been left ajar, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that there's some of those. Yeah.
Might know a manager or two for the basketball team. Could help us out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a simple trespassing charge, you know, it's fine.
Oh, my goodness. I just got a text message from Nick Mason, says, I'll go look.
Of course he would.
Yeah, Nick's got the in.
Of course Nick would do it.
Good grief.
He's our man.
Yeah.
But no, Nick, you'd want to take all the glory, and that would really upset Ty, because Ty's interested in him getting all the glory.
Somebody's got to get all the glory.
Yeah. Might as well be us.
Yeah. I'm wondering, man.
Might as well be y'all. I'm too old and don't care.
Yeah, you don't tweet.
No, I don't care. I don't measure my value in life based on Twitter followers like some do.
So how do you measure it, Tommy?
By height.
I was setting you up for that one. I was hoping you were going to softball it in there.
How do you measure yourself against other golfers? By height.
I was hoping that you would at least knock that one out of the park. Okay, good. Good. We covered it then. We made it work. But no, I'm going to be curious to see how it's all done. And I'm telling you, man, if there's a slobber hog on there right next to Nolan Richardson's name, I'll be as giddy as a schoolgirl. That'll be awesome.
Yeah.
But in the honoring of Nolan, it's like all this stuff happening in games that don't matter. Like you have the red white game at Barnhill, which everyone's pumped up about. Then you got an exhibition game against Little Rock that people are pumped up about because of the Nolan Richardson name. Like the two things that people don't give two rips about in basketball, I got people excited.
And when you're football season's going down the drain, nothing better than to, in October, pivot to basketball.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's move the message here.
Yeah, let's change directions and start heading into the Eric Musselman era. But there's a lot of excitement about it, and I know I'm one of them. But if that court has it looking like that, looking clean, I don't know how many games they'll win, but I'll at least be satisfied with that.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.